Good morning. Yeah, I've been asked to come speak, and yeah, it's a real privilege to come. I know speakers always say that's kind of a token gesture, but some of you will know, some of you won't know, but this has really been my one and only church that I've really belonged to. Yeah, and it's easy to forget for me, so I'm sure you obviously don't think about me every Sunday and stuff like that, but it's a real pleasure to come and try and encourage you and to share about my life and what the Lord's done, because you're a huge part of it. And as we read that first psalm, it talks about a tree being planted by streams of water. You know, this is a big part of that stream, is this church and my faith, my life, my who I am. I owe a lot of that to the Lord using all of you guys in his own way to encourage me. So before I get into my story, I'd love to just pray and ask the Lord to be with us and to bless us. So, our God, we just ask that you would be with us, and we thank you for making this church and providing these people, and through the years keeping us together, keeping us loving one another and growing together in our faith. And I just ask that you would bless me, that I would be able to encourage these people who have been such an encouragement to me, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So I've been asked to share kind of, I guess, my testimony, you know, which is kind of the story of what the Lord's done in my life, I guess. And often when I hear about testimonies, what's shared is the moment, you know, where they go from maybe a huge life of sin and rejecting God to turning to God and walking a new life. And that is part of my testimony. But the bit I'm interested in talking about today is what's happened since I've become a Christian. Because when I think about it, I mean, at the moment I'm doing my building apprenticeship. And it's one thing to be able to stand a wall up and to look at it, but it's a more impressive thing to come back in 100 years and see that same wall standing. And so the Lord did an amazing work in my life, and I was dead to the Lord. I was dead in sin, and he brought me to life by his grace and his love. But what's more impressive is that I'm still here, I think. It's more impressive that you're still here. Some of you have been Christians a little bit longer than me, I think. Maybe a little bit. And so I chose some passages today that I think really encourage me. And the point of my message today is to encourage you and to remind you that, yeah, in my life, the Lord's done work, and he's continued to be patient with me and to teach me and to grow me. But he does that through numerous ways, and a big part of that is you guys. So I'd love to encourage you today to remind you of the impact you have on just a young Kiwi builder who's trying to be a good Christian. So as I said, you know, part of my story was turning to God from, you know, I was kind of your typical teenager, didn't listen to my parents or whatever, and went and did my own thing, and somehow ended up at a church, I don't know how, and I heard a beautiful story from Luke, someone explaining just what happened in Luke from when Jesus went to Gethsemane and up to him being resurrected. And I heard that, and it really struck a chord, and I went home, and I remember sitting there, and I remember going, I cannot deny that God exists. And I can't deny that I've sinned against this God. I didn't really know what sin meant. I didn't really know all the theological implications or have the language to discuss it, but I knew that what God, what a Christian looked like, what God's people looked like, wasn't what I looked like. And I also knew, like Psalm 1 says, that, you know, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And I was terribly afraid. I remember sitting there, knowing that I wasn't right with God and that I couldn't hide who I was. I could hide it from my parents. I could hide it from teachers and whatnot. But when it came to God, it was like he'd shone a light on me. I couldn't get away. You know, I was stuck there. I was terribly afraid. And then I didn't have the vocabulary at the time, but I remember now looking back, and there's a verse in Romans 5. It's the fifth verse in Romans chapter 5, and it says, "Hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." When I was sitting there feeling condemned, feeling judged, knowing that there was a just, righteous lawgiver and I was a lawbreaker, I then saw the hope, right? That is Jesus Christ. And I remember that feeling, like that verse describes. It was like the love of God had been poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit. And then I no longer had any fear. There was no condemnation. As the Bible says, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I remember understanding who I was, but then seeing the love of God in my life. It didn't really matter who I was. What mattered was who he was. And so that was quite a big deal for me. And I went from cheeky little pest of a teenager to still the same thing, but I was a Christian. And I remember I went to school and I was talking with the boys, you know. I mean, as I said, I'm doing my building apprenticeship, and I've always been someone who loves, you know, the boys. I love hanging out with the lads. You know, last night we had a few beers, watched the rugby, and, you know, I love hanging out with the guys. And the guys I used to hang out with were like that Psalm 1 describes, you know. I was getting a lot of counsel from the wicked, you know. And I went back to school and I was talking to them. I said, "Hey, what did you get up to on the weekend?" I was like, "Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Yeah, I went to a church." They're like, "Johnny Nash went to church. What did you do that for?" I was like, "I don't know. But this dude read from this book and that." And like, I went home and I fully became a Christian, I think. And now I like want to love people. The guys thought I'd gone crazy. And I remember I tried to start running Bible studies with them about, you know, we can't be sexually immoral. You know, we've got to respect God's law. And we can't be getting drunk. You know, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. And I remember the boys thinking, "Man, this guy must have snapped. You know, he's gone." And so what amazes me is that since that moment, you know, the Lord's continued to be with me and in spite of me and sometimes with me, I hope. I've begun to become more of a Christian, really, and I've begun to live in a way where I can be proud of what I do. And I used to be someone who used to just hate a lot of people, and I was very arrogant. I grew up in Australia, so that's kind of part of it. But now, slowly, depending on who you ask, I'm becoming a little bit more patient. You know, I'm becoming a little bit more loving, I think, and hopefully a little bit more humble. And I used to be a very cynical person who used to criticize people a lot and take them down. And now I'm starting to see the value in other people. It's amazing that God would do that for me. So one of the verses that really inspired me was in Acts chapter 4. I know we didn't read it, but it's a simple little story. And I remember when I've gone from a life of sin, of hating God openly, of arguing with Christians and doing all this and that, to becoming a Christian myself and experiencing this love, which is not really an emotion I really thought about much. And now what do I do with this change? I'm just a Kiwi, you know, I'm just a guy, you know. What do I do? And I remember reading this verse, and it's with Peter and John. And they were before the Sanhedrin, which was a council, you know, filled with Pharisees and scribes and people who knew the Jewish law well. And the Jewish people were asking Peter and John and interrogating them and saying, "What are you doing spreading this message about Jesus Christ? Why are you telling people to turn from what we believe and to begin following this man from Galilee? Why are you doing this?" I imagine Peter and John were a bit nervous because they were fishermen, and I've met a few fishermen. Probably not the people you want to see in court defending themselves without a lawyer. And so the Bible says, now when the Sanhedrin saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Now, I remember reading that as an 18-year-old and going, I don't see myself with my current 18-year-old skill set as some great evangelist or some great missionary or some great teacher or someone who leads these prayer meetings. Or I didn't see myself as someone who could ever do something like that. But when I read that verse, it didn't say when the Sanhedrin saw Peter and John, who were well-educated, hard-working, especially gifted, unique men. It says they recognized that they were uneducated common people. But what mattered was that they had been with Jesus. And when I came to know Jesus for the first time when I was 18, that was just the beginning. And as time goes on, I know Jesus more now. It's like my fiance's here. We first met. We weren't exactly on the same page. I think I had to ask her out about 30 times. And I think she called her mum crying one day, saying this absolute wounder of a 18-year-old won't leave me alone. To make it worse, he's a philosophy major as well, so he talks too much. But now we're engaged, and that's a secret victory to me. And as time's gone on, I used to think her favourite idea for a date would have been going to the Warriors or going to the All Blacks, but it turns out I was very mistaken. But as I've gotten to know her more, we can do more together, you know, that we both enjoy instead of just what I want. And with the Lord, when I first got to know him, and then I look back and see what I used to do, and I look now, you know, I'm learning more and more. How can I honor God with my life? How can I have this relationship with him? How can I walk with him in a way that's pleasing, you know? And this verse, when I read this verse, the key to it isn't that I studied the right books or I read the right literature or I said the right prayers. You know, it's that, am I getting to know Jesus Christ like when I first got to know him? Or am I leaving that behind and trying to do something else, just living in a routine? And I can't say I've been perfect at all. And I definitely have gone into routines and forgotten Christ, and I've, you know, lived for myself a lot. But that wall's still standing, you know, that got built a couple of years ago. And I want to encourage you. You know, they were astounded and they recognized that Peter and John had been with Jesus, that they knew Jesus. I don't think you guys will be able to fully appreciate the impact you have on someone like me because you know Jesus. Because I've come here every Sunday for quite a while. Not every Sunday, most Sundays for a couple of years now. You know, I learned to pray here with our prayers of thanksgiving. I learned to read the Word here because we read it every Sunday. I learned to sing songs to God through our music team. I've been helped to understand the Bible through the preaching of the Word. I'm being taught how to be better with my money and how to give it to God. And all of you are a part of that. So I encourage you guys, all of you, whether you're younger than me or older than me, it doesn't matter. Your faith has an impact directly on mine. and it's a positive impact. And the more you know Jesus Christ, you are helping my testimony, my faith grow. And so the place I want to turn to kind of wrap up is in Ephesians. And we read it, and it's a prayer that Paul gives. But I kind of want to focus on Ephesians as a whole. And the narrative of Ephesians, you know, it's a wonderful letter filled with, it's divided into two parts, roughly. The first three chapters talk about what has happened to you in Christ, if you are in Christ. And the next three chapters go, what then you ought to do with the knowledge of what Christ has done in your life. And so chapter 1, it talks about amazing things that Christ has done for you, that you were chosen before the foundation of the world, that you've been blessed with all the blessings in heaven, that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit so that when you're presented before God, you've got that stamp on you. He knows you. He knows that you're His. He's prepared good works for you to walk in. He's loved you. He sacrificed Himself for you. That your Savior, God, put Him to be over all things, and He's the one taking care of you. And the second chapter talks more specifically about the fact that you were dead in your sins and your trespasses, but apart from any good works you did or anything like that, Jesus Christ was sacrificed on a tree, and you were saved, and you were brought to life. You were given new life. He loved you. He's helping you to mature and grow. And then more corporately, he's talked about how there's a whole body of believers out there that he's molding into like a building with Jesus Christ as that cornerstone. And each one of you has a place in that building. And you help support the other stones in that building. Even if you're gifting or you're not a famous preacher or a missionary, you're still an important stone in that building. Jesus Christ lets us know in Ephesians that. And so when we get to the end of chapter 3 where we read from today with that prayer, it's interesting that what Paul does, he doesn't say, now that you know all this about yourself, now that I've equipped you and I've called you and I've blessed you in all these ways and you've got all of this behind you and you've got my blessing, you've got the blessing of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you've got new life, you've been forgiven, you've been made strong by me. He doesn't then say, now, go and live absolutely perfectly by yourself without my help, and I'm looking at you, and if you muck up, you've taken this for granted, I'm angry at you about that, I'm disappointed because look what I've done, and how are you using it? He doesn't say that. He goes, now that I've done all of this for you, all of this has happened in your life already if you are in Christ. He uses Paul, the Holy Spirit uses Paul to write down a prayer where he says, this is my prayer for you in light of all the work I've done in this church, is just that you would have strength to understand just how much God loves you. That's what Paul firstly wants to do for you. For me, you know, reading that letter, it's amazing to look at and say, God's really done that in my life. I'm a new creation. I can't deny it. But he's that loving that he doesn't then say, now, you better perform well or I'll take it away. Or you better perform well because if you don't, you're taking this for granted. What he's interested is maintaining that work. And reminding me, I've done all this for you before you even could have imagined. You didn't deserve this at all, and I gave it to you. I gave you far more abundantly than all that you could imagine. With that being said, I pray that you would understand the love of Christ. So as I've gone on in my walk, It's been interesting asking the Lord, what do I do now? You know, I had that counsel of the wicked. I stood in the way of the sinners. I sat in the seat of scoffers, you know. Then I got saved. I said, what do I do now, God, with my life? What happens? All of my counsel is wicked because they're the boys and they don't know you. And the Lord provided grape fries for me. And I came and I've had good counsel from people here. And I've been encouraged and I've learnt and I've matured because of you guys. And that now that I'm not a student anymore and I have less free time, I'm finding out what it's really like to be a Christian because I'm at work every day. And I'm at a building site with some people who may not be the best representatives of Christ we've ever seen on this earth. And it's encouraging to know that God's provided so many ways and kept those ways going, you know, to encourage me. And I'm a nobody. I'm just a lad. And I hope when you look at your life and you see, you know, you've known Christ for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, that faithfulness of His to preserve you is almost more amazing than the initial time that He saved you. So I really pray that you guys would seek more and more to know Jesus Christ first and foremost. Because for someone like me, you know, that makes all the difference. Because I'm not looking for fancy theological answers or stuff like that, although I'd like some. But I'm looking for people to love me, to teach me how to be caring and gentle and kind. You've done a great job so far. So I'll pray, wrapping up, and we'll carry on. Dear Lord, we just pray that your love that you gave us in Christ and continue to give us every day, every moment, Lord, would be the thing that guides us forward and that we would get to know Jesus Christ more and more, Father, and that we believe and we trust that in knowing Christ, you'll supply the rest of our needs. You'll equip us for what you want us to do. But Lord, help us as a church to remember that when we know you individually, we encourage each other corporately, Father. So please continue to bless this church. Continue to be with them. Bless Reverend Malcolm and all the good work he does, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.